Today's reading, Psalm 119, starting at verse 1. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep their statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed, and that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me.
How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tim and Renee, for reading. I hope all of you got access to one of these little handouts, which I hope will help each one of us as we look at the subject we're looking at today. I've put some of the verses in, so we won't be dotting around through Psalm 119 if you don't want to. So do put your hand up if you haven't got one, and I'm sure the welcome team would bring one. Looks like everyone's got something. Great. Well, as we start together, why don't we use verse 18 as a prayer to God. It's a wonderful verse to use to pray as we come, whenever we come to God's word. So let's pray. Lord, open our eyes that we may see wonderful things in your word. Lord, your word is precious. We are so grateful to you that we have your word and that we can read it and that we can hear from you. Please be with us by your spirit and open our eyes for your name's sake. Amen. Well, when would you use a poem to express your love, your longing, your delight and your joy? When would you use a poem for that? I guess many of us might immediately think of a love poem. Maybe you've included words like this in a Valentine's Day card. You all know where this is going. The rose is red, the violet is blue, the honey's sweet, and so are you. How about that? Many takers? Anyway, it's interesting, I found that actually in a collection of 19th century poems, so it's been around for a while, it's done the rounds. Perhaps if your poetry tastes are a little bit more highbrow and you've got some other suggestions, let me know after the service. We'll get a St. Mary's Poetry Anthology together. But the point is this, the words of love poetry are words which come from the heart. They're words of affection. They're words which express deep feelings. And for many of us, it may well be a surprising thing that they are exactly the same sort of words which the writer of Psalm 119 uses when he speaks about the Bible, when he speaks about God's word. Take verse 103. That says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Now, obviously, we don't literally eat God's word, but the writer of the psalm is saying that God's word is like a life-sustaining food, and to consume it is something which tastes, it is to consume something which tastes better than the best food we can imagine. Well, what about verse 72? "The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold." The writer of the psalm is saying to God, your word is more valuable to me than having all the riches the world has to offer. Your word is more valuable to me than being on the rich list. And so how do you feel about the word of God? How do you feel about the Bible? Maybe you feel dubious about the Bible because you've heard it says some things which you do like and some things which you're not sure you like the sound of. Or maybe you find time to read the Bible relatively often, but it feels like a duty. You know that it's something you ought to do, and it certainly doesn't ignite the sort of feelings which the writer of Psalm 119 is expressing. Well, this is the third and final sermon in our series about the Bible, which we have called Your Word is Truth. And we're going to be thinking about the place of the Bible should have in our feelings and in our lives. And it's a thematic sermon and will be based in Psalm 119, which is a psalm written all about God's Word. It's a remarkable poem. Each section of the poem starts with a different letter of the alphabet, going right the way through the Hebrew alphabet. So it starts with A, or the Hebrew letter Aleph, and then it goes on Beth, as we saw that in the reading. It's what we would call an acrostic poem. And interestingly, each section of that poem starts with the same letter. So the first section begins with Aleph. Every line starts with Aleph. And if you look at it in the Hebrew, it's very striking. And then we move on to Beth, and you get the Beth on at the beginning of each line. We don't know who wrote Psalm 119, but the psalm reveals that he experienced suffering, sorrow, and sin. In verse 107, he says, I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. And as you read through the psalm, you see that he knows what it is to suffer. Verse 28 speaks of his sorrow. He says, my soul is weary with sorrow. But he also speaks of sinfulness. At verse 67, he speaks of going astray. And at the end of the psalm, he writes, I have strayed like a lost sheep. The writer of Psalm 119 is not someone who is detached from the real world. He's not some airy-fairy poet living in some protected, mollycoddled environment. No, he knows the harsh realities of the world. And that is what makes what he says about God's word all the more striking. The writer knows how hard life is, how hard it can be. And yet in the midst of it, he speaks of his longing for God's word, his delight in it, his love of it, and his joy in it. So what is lovable about the Bible? Well, the first part to our answer is that the Bible is God's word. In Psalm 119, there are 8 different words used for God's word. You may have noticed some of them in our reading. Law, statutes, precepts, decrees, words, commands, and later on in the psalm, promises, and so on. And these words are used interchangeably in the psalm and all add something to our understanding of what God's word is. But whichever word is used in Psalm 119, the writer makes it clear that it is God's word. So let me just reread the first few verses of Psalm 119 again and just listen out for those words like your and his. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong, they walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. At every stage, the writer speaks of words in the Bible as God's words. And we saw in the first sermon in this series that Jesus viewed the Old Testament as God's words, that he commissioned the New Testament also as God's words. And last week we saw, we remember Richard preaching, we saw that the whole Bible is God-breathed. It was written by human authors who were led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is God's word. How wonderful that God has given us his words in this book, in the Bible. And as we read through Psalm 119, we see that it describes God's word in a number of ways. Let's look at three examples. Firstly, God's word is good. We see that in verse 39, where the writer says, "Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good." He dreads the disgrace of coming under God's judgment, but he knows that if he lives by God's good word, well, then he need have no fear. Psalm 119 describes God's word as good, but it also describes God's word as trustworthy. Have a look at verse 86. "All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for men persecute me without cause." Psalm 119 tells us that God's word is trustworthy. The people who were out to get the writer of Psalm 119 just did what they liked. They treated him as they wanted. They didn't have any cause or reason. They weren't trustworthy. But God's word stands in stark contrast. His word is trustworthy. It's a place of stability, of certainty, and of steadiness. And then Psalm 119 describes God's word as eternal. Have a look a few verses on at verse 89. "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." The word of God, through which he created the world and the heavens, is the same word of God which we have here in the Bible. It is fixed, whereas you and I are fragile. It doesn't change, but it stays the same. So God's word is good. God's word is trustworthy. God's word is eternal. And Psalm 119 goes on to give us more reasons why God's word is lovable. It says that God's word is righteous. It's perfect. It's true. And it's much more besides. But I wonder whether you've noticed that all of these descriptions of God's word, all the words that are used in this psalm to describe God's word are words which the Bible uses to describe God himself. The Bible tells us that God is good, and it tells us that his word is good. The Bible tells us that God is trustworthy, and it tells us that his word is trustworthy. It tells us that he is eternal, and it tells us that his word is eternal. And it tells us that both God and his word are righteous and perfect and true. And of course, that's why you cannot divide God from his word. I'm currently reading a fascinating book about a Soviet spy. And the words in the book are the author's words. And they tell me next to nothing about him. And I certainly don't relate to him through the words he has written. But in Psalm 119, every reference to God's word is related explicitly to God himself. God's word is related to him, and you can't divide him from it. And that's true in the Bible as a whole. In the first book in the Bible, in Genesis, we read about Adam and Eve, and we see that they disobeyed God's word, and that amounted to rejecting God himself. Likewise, a few chapters later in Genesis, God commanded Abraham to leave his home and promised that he would bless him. Just as Adam and Eve's disobedience of God's word amounted to a rejection of God himself, well, Abraham's obedient response to God's words was a response to God himself. Now, let me be very clear. God's word is not God. We don't worship the Bible. But you cannot divide God from his word. You can't decide you like some bits of his word and not others. To put it positively, if we want to know God, we can get to know him through his word here in the Bible. If we want to hear him speak to us, well, we can listen to what he tells us here in the Bible. If we want to live for him, well, we will obey his word here in the Bible. If we love God, well, we will love his word here in the Bible. Why is the Bible lovable? Well, because it's God's word. Because it's good, it's true, it's righteous, it's perfect, it's trustworthy and eternal. And because we cannot divide God from his word. But there's more. There's more. The Bible is lovable because it brings us into and sustains our relationship with God. When I was a lawyer, I had some door-stopping legal books. And many of them were dry, they were boring, they were forbidding, and pretty lifeless. They were the sort of thing you might recommend somebody to cure them from insomnia. And I suspect that's what many people think the Bible is like. A dull, impenetrable book full of sentences which start, "Thou shalt not," and which tell us about a God who is a bit like an angry schoolmaster whose greatest desire is to catch us out, spoil our fun, and punish us. Those of us who are Christians may not have that view, but I wonder whether we feel a little bit intimidated by the Bible, and that reading it is a bit of a duty, something we feel guilty about if we don't do it, one of those box-ticking exercises. Well, the very first two verses of our psalm challenge that view. Let's read them again. "Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart." That first word, blessed. God's word is about blessing. To be blessed is to be in a relationship with God. The purpose of the Bible is to bring us into a relationship with God and to sustain us in that relationship with him. The Bible's not like the biography I'm reading. It's not like one of my law books. It's not like a novel. It's not like any of those sorts of things. Those books are not written to bring the author and reader into a relationship. Now, I've heard people describe the Bible as God's love letter. And if I'm honest, that description makes me cringe slightly. But actually, it probably gets closest to what God is doing with the Bible. God wants a relationship with you and me. He loves us. He gives us his word. He gives us his word to us so that we will come to him and be sustained in a relationship with him. Well, how do we receive this blessing? How do we come into relationship with God? Well, last week we saw that the Bible makes us wise for salvation. In other words, it tells us what we need to know so that we can be saved. And we can see in Psalm 119 that the author, who is so passionate about God's word, knows what he needs to know to be saved. He knows his need for a savior, and he knows there is only one person who can save him. Look with me at verse 41. Verse 41 says, "May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise." What does the psalm, the writer of this psalm, know he needs? Well, he knows he needs salvation. He needs God's salvation. And what does he rely on for his salvation? Well, he relies on God's promise of his unfailing love. He relies on God's covenant promises. And where do we find God's promise of his covenant love? Well, here, in the Bible. And that's why the Bible is so precious, because it contains what the Apostle Peter describes as the great and precious promises of God. And the great and precious promise of God's unfailing love finds its fulfillment in Jesus, who gave his life in your and my place to save us from a judgment we deserve, so that we can live with God for eternity. God's word is precious and wonderful, and it tells us what we need to know for life. It tells us what we need to know for salvation. It tells us what we need to know so that we can have an eternity with God. And so that brings us to a question. What place should the Bible, what place should this book have in our lives? Well, verse 1 of Psalm 119 tells us that God's word should determine the way we live. Let's look at it again. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless. Let me say that again. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. God's word should determine the way we live. If we're Christians, well, then we will want to walk in the way of the word. We'll want to live it out, if you like. God's word is comprehensive. I think that's the significance of every section, starting with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. God's word covers A to Z. It relates to every area of life. And so living it out will affect everything. Where we live, what we do, what we say, what we think, what relationships we have, and so on. A man who was a distinguished theologian, but not just a man who lived in some ivory tower, but a man who also served as the Prime Minister of the Netherlands, once said, "There is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, 'Mine.'" Well, why? Why should we live in accordance with God's word? That's a good question, isn't it? And the reason is because it's our loving response to God's love. It's our loving response to God's love. The writer of Psalm 119 knew God's unfailing love for him. And the psalm shows us his loving response to God's love. His love of God changed the way he lived. It led him to live in accordance with God's word. And like the writer of Psalm 119, living out God's word should be our loving response to God's unfailing love for us. Love which we know led him to die on a cross for us. You see, if we try and live out the Bible for any other reason, we're just going to become little legalists like the Pharisees. No, our love for him should change the way we live. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands." So my question for all of us is, does your love for God lead you to live according to his word? Does your love for God lead you to live according to his word? But there's a supplementary question. Let me press you further. Are there areas in your life where you know you're not living in accordance with his word and which you know you need to do something about? See, God's word should determine the way we live. And yet all of us find it difficult. And it may reassure you that the author of Psalm 119 found it difficult. Have a look at verse 5. See, verse 5, the author cries out, "Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees." He longed to live in accordance with God's word consistently. And yet he knew he was up and down like a yo-yo, and he longed that it would be otherwise. Do you have the same longing that the Bible would determine the way you live in all areas of your life? So what's the answer? What does Psalm 119 tell us about how we walk in the way of the word? Well, we see the answer in verse 11, which says, "I have hidden your word in my heart." Another way of translating it is, "I have stored up your word in my heart." I don't know what ways you have of trying to bring God's word into every part of your life. Maybe you have post-it notes of verses that you stick on your mirror in the bathroom. Maybe you do that. Maybe you have the St. Mary's postcard with the verse for the year, which you have on your fridge or on your kitchen cabinet or somewhere in your house. Maybe you have verses on your phone as a screensaver or as a backdrop or on your computer. Maybe you have them on your desk at work. Maybe you even have them on your steering wheel of your car. Well, maybe you have them all over the place because you know that actually you want in your heart desperately to live out God's word. You put them all over the place. And can I say it's good? And it's to be encouraged to do that because it helps us to live out God's word in our lives. But Psalm 119 encourages us to store up God's word in our hearts. And all of us need God's help to do that. And so it should come as no surprise that the author of the psalm prays in verse 12 to God, "Teach me your decrees." It's a very simple prayer, isn't it? Teach me your decrees. We live in a different era of salvation history because Jesus has now sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in the hearts of all who trust in him. It's a breathtaking thought, isn't it? The author of the Bible dwells in the hearts of every believer. But we need to be praying, don't we, that he will teach us, that he will store up God's word in our hearts. And then, of course, we will come on a Sunday to join together with God's people to hear God's word read and preached. We might also join a growth group or spend time with friends reading God's word or setting aside time day by day to each day to read it and to pray it through. And this psalm is filled with wonderful prayers we can pray as we open God's word. We heard one of them at the beginning from verse 18. It's perhaps the most famous. "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." That's a great verse to use as we sit down to read God's word or as we anticipate coming to church on a Sunday to hear God's word read and preached. And I'd urge you to take away the handout and to use verses 33 to 37, which we're going to pray in a moment together, to use it as a prayer as you come to God's word. And as we read through these verses, these first few verses of Psalm 119, we see there's a beautiful movement. See, God teaches us his word. He stores it up in our hearts. And then in verses 15 and 16, it moves from our hearts to our lips as we meditate on it and express our delight in it. That word meditate has the sense of musing or mulling over. It's not about emptying our minds. That's often what we associate meditation with. It's not about emptying our minds, but actually filling them with God's word. Imagine having God's word so stored up in our hearts that through every day we turn it over in our minds and remind ourselves of great truths of who God is, what he's done, what he's promised, how we're to live for him, how he helps us, and what our future is. And having God's word stored up in our hearts, it leads to meditation, and in verse 16, it leads to delight. And you see how we turn a full circle. We're back to our hearts, our affections. You know, as God's word is stored up in our hearts, well, so it affects the way we feel towards him and towards his word. And the reason for that delight is that God's word tells us about him. It tells us about his grace and about his unfailing love for us. And so as we conclude, let's go back to the question we began with. How do you feel about God's word? If you're here today and you haven't read the Bible, well, can I invite you to take a copy of John's Gospel? There's some at the back, just underneath the stand. Take a copy, and why not read it this Easter? It won't take long. And if you'd like to, we would be thrilled if you wanted to join us on our Christianity Explored course, which starts on Monday the 17th of May, just in the hall opposite at 7:30. That's a great way, in a relaxed environment, to get into God's word and to look at it. But if you're here today and you're a believer, well, you may well find yourself in one of two categories. You may be delighting in God's word, loving coming to hear it read and preached on a Sunday, and enjoying meditating on it during the week. Or you may be in a patch where you're battling. You're finding it hard to open it. And even when you do, you're not finding it easy to engage with it. If that's you, you're not alone. My prayer is that God will use the truths we've looked at today and during this series to help you love God more, to love his word more, to live out his word, to store it up in your heart and to bring you to that place of praise, rejoicing, and delight, which we see in this psalm.